Talk about, I could have titled this something else, but can you say, tell somebody sitting next to you, you need to get a grip. You need to get a grip. Get a grip right now. Get a grip on the Word of God, and let's read it together. Okay? Here we go. We're going to start. This is one of my favorite passages, by the way, Ephesians 14, chapter 3, verse 14. And listen to Paul. He's talking about his prayer that he has. And if you've been in the Colossians study that we're doing here on Wednesday nights, this is a lot similar to what he teaches there in Colossians. But verse 14, he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Amen. The family, part of us are in heaven, part of us are on earth. Amen. We're still family. We still got connection. You know, we've seen one of ours go from earth to heaven this week. We're still family. Still got a connection. We're still, you know, they're living there. We're living here. We're connected. Amen. So the whole family. Don't forget those who've gone on and those who are still here and those who are yet to be born. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt myself there. Let's keep reading. He says in verse 16, that he, that's the Lord, grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, may be able to get a grip with all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Pray with me. Father, take your word and Lord, through your Spirit, open the eyes of our hearts and help us to understand it. Help us to apply it. Help us to respond it. Help it to become a living, breathing part of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 All right. How's this? You like his jacket? It's looking good today, huh? Did I match this up okay? Huh? You said you like this. I matched it without Clarissa's help, but she gave me the nod before I left. If you like it, all right, I'm done with it. I'm taking it off. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's kind of cold out there this morning, but I'm getting worked up here. How about you? Because I want to get a grip. You know, even though something is beyond human capability to understand, even though this surpasses anything that our human brains are capable of fully understanding, yet he says, I'm praying that God would help you get a handle on it. You know, we say that sometimes, get a handle on it. So why do I need to get a handle on it? What I'm saying is I need to get a handle on it so I can get a grip on it. When I get a grip on it, it means I've got part of it that becomes part of me. Okay, so even though this is that big that you can't understand and process all of this, God says, I want you to get a grip on this. I'm going to explain that as we go. But some things are, it's kind of like I've said before, it's kind of like that fat brother-in-law that you love so much. Quit looking around the room. It's kind of like that fat brother-in-law. You just love him so much, even though you can't quite get your arms all the way around him, you know, but you still love him, right? You may not be able to get your arms all the way around this, but God says, I want to help you get a grip on it, okay? So the thing that I like about this is Paul saying, this is what I'm praying for. This is what I'm praying will happen in my life. This is what I'm praying that will happen in your life. Is this what your prayer is? It should be. But he says, here's what I'm praying. I'm bowing my knee to the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. I'm praying that he would grant you. Now, I like that because he prays that he would grant us what we need in verse 16. You can't earn it. You can't pay it back. You will never deserve it. That's why he's got to grant it. Amen. So I'm glad because I know I am not qualified on my own. But as we say, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Amen. So this is it. He will grant me according to. Look at it. Got your Bible out there? Look at this. That he would grant you according to the riches We got any rich people in here? Well, I mean, really, the way the world would look at it is probably not. But honestly, we're the richest people on planet Earth. Okay, now get this. If he's going to grant you, that means he's giving you according to his riches. Now, there is no riches like God's riches because God owns everything. These are the ultimate riches. And he's not going to give you. See, I like the way he says according to his riches. Now, a really rich man on earth could give you $5 out of his riches. He doesn't say out of his riches, does he? That he would give you out of his riches. Because a rich man could give you out of his riches $5 or one penny. But according to his riches, he could give you $1 million and might not even miss it. Okay? So that's what he's saying here. Our God isn't just going to give you out of his riches, but according to his riches. This is something your mind can't fully process. So we got to pray God help us get a grip on it. So I know who I am. And Satan wants to keep you ignorant. He wants to keep you focused on yourself instead of on the Lord, because by yourself, you haven't got any of this. That's why we got to have focus on him. We're going to see that, and so that we can get a grip on it, and it gets a grip on us. And you realize what is available in you, through you, to you, because it is according to the riches of his glory. His glory never ends. Did you know that? I mean, we see a little bit of his glory. We get glimpses of his glory here in our walk with him, in our relationship with him. That's what Jackie wanted to say. I want to give God the glory. He said, I don't hate to talk about myself, but no. You're talking about yourself to brag on what Jesus has done. We want to give him glory. He is so glorious that it's brighter than the noonday sun. And you know what? We'll never get to the bottom of it. We'll never get to the bottom of his glory. After we're in glory, see, we call heaven glory. You know why we call heaven glory? Because he's there. We get to partake of that glory. We get to bask in that glory. Because once we're there, Paul uses the term that we will be glorified. See, that's what happens. You know, there's three steps in life. Better get this, because I didn't know I was going to say it till now. And so, the Lord's got to be somebody needs this. When you're saved, you're justified. That means your sins are canceled. Paid for on the cross. God forgives a debt. In order to forgive a debt, somebody's got to suffer the loss. God himself suffered the loss, came, paid the sin debt because he's perfect, couldn't overlook your sin, couldn't ignore it. Sin had to be paid for. Jesus paid for it on the cross, proved it with the power of his resurrection. You are justified. Paul says, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So God looks at me, even though I'm guilty, even though I am a sinner, he looks at me just as if I never sinned. He looks at my heart and he doesn't see my sin there because Jesus paid it all. He sees Jesus Christ there. Because see, I don't have really any righteousness of my own too. Any good that I do, any good fruit that comes out of me is really Jesus living through me, living in me. And so he gets the glory for that too. So he sees the righteousness of Christ in me. That's justified. But you know what? In my position, I am in Christ. God looks at me, that's what he sees. That's my position. But now he wants to work on my practice, the way I live out my life. And so even though I am in Christ and I'm justified, he wants to work on the way that this is acting out through my life, through my actions, through my decisions, through the things I do, through the things I say. And that process, my old flesh that I'm living in, even though I'm saved, I'm living in a body of flesh that's been cursed by sin. I have a sinful nature and it pulls me the other way. You ever feel that? And I've got the Holy Spirit pulling me this way. I'm the one that makes the decision which way I'm going to yield, which way I'm going to go. And what's happening is God begins to rewire my brain. Romans chapter 12, he talks about being transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? He talks about presenting our bodies. Romans 12, 1. Get that down if you need to, okay? Look it up again later. Romans 12, 1, that we are our bodies, a living sacrifice, and that he's transforming our mind, or he begins to rewire us, okay? And this process of becoming, in the practical way that I live, more like Jesus. And that's going to progress through my life. I'm going to keep growing. That is called sanctification. You've heard that word before? That's what that word is, to sanctify. We get the word sanitize from the same root word. It means to get rid of all of the all corruption or all bacteria, all germs or whatever, all impurities. That's what to be sanctified means, to be set apart, to be made holy, to be purified. And that's the process that's going on. So there's justified, sanctified, and then one of these days he's going to deliver us from this body of death. Paul talks about that in Romans 8. You know, we're groaning, you know. Even the whole creation is groaning, looking forward to this thing that God's going to do. And one of these days that's going to happen. We're going to be glorified. We're going to have a glorified body, a resurrected body. We're going to be in his glory. There is no end to the glory of God. Now, I didn't mean to talk so long about the glory of God, but I'm telling you, when he says that he's going to grant you according to the riches of his glory, you got something there. Do you realize? That's why I know this, but whenever I really begin to get a grip on it, I can't just act like it's no big deal. What does it take to light you up? Huh? What does it take? That's why I don't get over this. I get up Sunday morning and I'm reading through the scripture. I'm going back over all the work that's been done all week and reading through and just letting it become a part of me and everything. And it's not like I'm like, man, I got to go back up there and do that again this week, you know. But I'm going to tell you, I'm so excited. You know, it's 7:30 in the morning. I'm like, man, I'm ready to preach now. I'm ready because this is so powerful. The Word of God is alive. Let the Word of God do its work. And I know God is going to speak to your heart because of not me, but because of his Word. Because I'm sharing God's truth and it will accomplish what he has purposed for it to do. And it's not just about what my opinions or my persuasions about this or that is, but as I give interpretation and application of the Word of God, that's when the Holy Spirit does his work. And I'm telling you, he will grant you everything you need according to his riches in glory. The glorious riches. Now, that's the thing. If he's going to do all this just to save you, don't you think he's going to give you everything you need to be victorious? Why are we going around defeated, depressed, negative, discouraged, being pushed around by the devil and by every lust of the flesh and greedy thought that comes along? It doesn't have to be that way. Because he tells us. He tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Let's just look at a verse from Romans 8. He says, he who did not spare his own son. He's talking about God the Father, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, that's not all things that I want, because God is going to look out for my best interest. He's not going to give me things that are going to pull me down or take me in the wrong direction, but he's going to give me those things that build me up in Christ. Here's the point. If he's going to go to all that trouble to freely give his son to pay for your sins, to save your soul, don't you think that once you're saved, he's going to give you everything that you need to be victorious? Amen. That's what he says. There's a promise. There's a promise right there. You can mark it down. Now, all these requests that he makes in this passage flow together. He prays that they might receive spiritual strength in the inner person. When they do that, in turn, it's going to lead to a deeper experience with Christ. This deeper experience of Christ dwelling in them will enable them to comprehend or get a grip on God's great love. Getting a grip on God's great love is going to result in them being filled to all the fullness of God. There's your sermon. Let's go. Now, let me just point out a couple more things, all right? But that's what he's saying here. So he's talking about being filled with his fullness. Being filled with his fullness. When something is filled, that means that it's to the top. If there's room to put any more, it's not like those bags of tater chips that you get. Half empty. Well, I'm so glad it says on there in small print, some settling may occur during shipping, right? It's like, it's not even half full. God says, I don't measure out like that. I shake it, and I press it down, and I top it off to overflowing. So when God fills you, it's overflowing. And then when the pressures of life come, like they have this week, and you get all bumped and shook up, what's going to be spilling out of you? It's going to be the fullness of God. Spilling out of you. Now, here's the thing. In order to be filled with the fullness of God, I've got to empty myself of me, because God can't fill something that's already filled with itself. God will only fill an empty vessel if my vessel is already filled with other stuff or with self. God's not going to be able to fill it. So as I empty, and that's where we have a big problem. We don't want to give up ourselves. But that's the key. When I empty myself is when I get filled with all the fullness. And that blows me away, the way he says that, filled with all the fullness of God. Well, how does this happen? Well, here's how. He's leading up to that. So here's the prayer. He grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be, number one, strengthened. He prays for strength. That you'll be strengthened with might or power through his spirit in the inner man or the inner person. You know, the presence of the, and this is through his spirit. This is through, and the Holy Spirit isn't some force out there or some it. The Holy Spirit is he. Third person of the Trinity. It's God. Through God's presence, through the Holy Spirit in you, this is how God is going to do this in you. This isn't just something that we believe that's on a page. This isn't like believing the philosophers or Shakespeare or studying anything else. This is something that's not just print on a page. It's something that becomes a living part of you. That's the difference. That's why Paul said the law never did have the power to change us. The Old Testament law was just the letter of the law was printed on a page that exposed to us that we don't measure up, but it had no power to change the way we think. The Holy Spirit living in us, God's Word entering into us, which is alive and powerful, then God is living there and does have the power to change the way we think and give us everything we need according to his riches and glory. So the presence of the Spirit in my life, I can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, 9, should have put that up there. Romans 8, 9, read that. He says, if any man or any person does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Spirit is the one who takes you as you're saved and places you in the body of Christ. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says we're all baptized by, the Holy Spirit is the one in that verse doing the baptizing. It's not that you're baptized into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is doing the baptizing. We are baptized by one Spirit into one body, into the body of Christ. And so you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. So sometimes the question isn't how much Holy Spirit do you have? The question is how much of you does he have? See, because the presence of the Spirit in your life, if God is living in you, you can't be the same. I mean, if you really have God's presence in you, you can't be the same. It's not that you're not going to have struggles with the flesh and all of that, but it's not going to be like it was. The presence of the Spirit is evidence, and the Holy Spirit's presence in our life is going to evidence. There's going to be evidence in our lives. And then the power of the Spirit, or the presence of the Spirit, is evidence, but the power of the Spirit is enablement. He enables me to live how he wants me to live. There is power. Power. Power in the blood, amen? Yeah, so he gives us, this is made available. Everything that I need is made to be strengthened by his Spirit in the innermost part of me. That's the real me. I can look like I got it together out here and really not. It's in the inner part because when it's in there, it comes out here. Out here, it could just be a mask. And I want people to see the real deal. It's got to happen on the inside. He's going to give me strength in there. Out of his riches, through his Spirit. The strength comes through the Spirit. I have got to yield my will to the Spirit of God and not to the flesh. When this happens, I'm going to receive strength and this power. I mean, here's the thing. When we come to church, we don't have to try to work something up. We don't have to try to work something up because he's already sent something down. Amen? Okay, claim it. Believe it. Yield to him. This power is, as I said, for the inner person, the soul, the spirit. That's the place where God dwells and works. See, before I was saved, I was, as Romans 2:1 on the other side of my page says, in you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before I was saved, I was spiritually dead. But now I'm not only spiritually alive, but I can receive strength with the power, with his might. I like the way he says that. And we spend a lot of time worrying about the outer person. I mean, we probably spent more time getting the outer person ready to come to church than we did the inner person that really counts today. You know, we didn't even take time to pray and get tuned in, did we? We spent it, and this thing's fading, right? This thing is fading, right? Getting old. I mean, this is a hard thing about being here 27 years now. is I'm seeing some of my friends get old that weren't old when I came here. Why isn't everybody laughing, you know? That was funny. That was funny. Galen comes in this morning. I said, Galen, you must have been out hunting. I see you still got frost all over you. But it didn't melt, right? And, of course, you know Galen. He had a pretty good remark to make back to me. But this thing is fading. I've got aches and I got pains that I used to not have. And I'm glad that I got the Bible. I've got God's truth. Because now I turn another verse you need to get. And this is 2 Corinthians 4:16. I'm glad I've got that. Because he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. I'm not going to give up. Why? Even though our outward man is perishing. The outward person is falling apart, right? Amen? Come on, give me a witness. Yeah. Even though that's happening, yet the inward person is being renewed every day. The real me on the inside is new every day. Guess what? When I get to glory, I'm going to get an outside body to match the inside. Amen. That's going to be good. But he's talking about this is happening deep inside you. And so this, what does it mean to have the spirit empower the inner person? It means that he is in control of every bit of our faculties. That's what that means. So strength, he's praying for strength. And he says that you may be strengthened with might. That word might is the Greek word that we get the English word dynamite from. So when he picked a word, he said, this is the kind of power. You'd be strengthened with that power. Not my power, but with that power. Okay, so we need strength. The next thing that he prays for is depth. Verse 17, because he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded. Rooted and grounded, he's talking about depth here. Someone's spiritual life might, and sometimes we appear to be a mile wide, but we might only be a quarter of an inch deep. God wants us to get deep. He knows what's real, whether we're faking it or not. We need depth. Now, he says this, that Christ may, are you with me? Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now, that word dwell doesn't just mean that he's in there. It means to be at home. It means to be at home, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that Christ may make his home in your heart. There's a difference. There's some people's houses I go to, and the way that they kind of are, everything's so perfect, I'm nervous because I'm clumsy, and I make messes. I make many messes. And Clarissa gets nervous, too, because I don't pay attention. I get to talking. I'm moving my hands, and I spill stuff. And I'll never forget whenever you were first working at the care center, and the twins were like little. Seth and Shanda were like little. And you surely don't remember this, do you? You don't remember it. No, you don't. Okay. Kind of, maybe. You've heard it so many times. But they were having some kind of little banquet there, and Clarissa was working there. Caleb remembers it. And there was a lot of people from town, little old ladies from town were there, and they were seeing me because Clarissa was working there. She was busy. I was taking care of Caleb and the twins. I don't think, Gillian was along there. She was, but I don't know where you were. But I guess I probably set you down and went off somewhere. But anyway, they had punch. They had punch. I had little glasses of punch, and I set Seth and Shanda down on the floor right by the wall. And these little ladies are watching me take care of my babies, right? They're just toddlers. They're young. And I sit down there, and I get down there, and I have these two little glasses of punch, and I'm going to give them to them. You know how punch stains? And I said, listen, you guys, don't spill this. And then I dropped both of them. I spilled both of them. And the little old ladies that were sitting there laughed and laughed and laughed. So I get nervous about myself. There's some houses I go into, and I just don't know I can feel at home because I'm afraid I'm going to mess something up. However, if I come in and you say, hey, kick your shoes off, just make yourself comfortable there. That's what we're saying to Jesus when he's going to dwell in our hearts by faith. That means he makes himself at home. That means that Jesus comes in, kick his shoes off, and put his feet on the coffee table if he wants to. Amen? And go get anything he wants out of the refrigerator. See, there's some of you that if I came over to your house and just went to your refrigerator and just started getting myself a sandwich out of there, you would say, wait a minute, what's going on here? See, so that's what I'm talking about, really making yourself at home. You got access to anything in the house, Jesus. Yeah, you can even use my bar soap, Gillian. Oh, that's a joke. That's an inside joke. Yeah, yeah. It's like an ice cube, you know, the hour later melts off if you hold it under the water, right? Yeah, right? No sharing of soap for my daughter. No, brings her own soap. Can you believe that? Anyway, I'm getting off track here. But no, I'm not. That has something to do with it. Because when you really make yourself at home, you have access to everything in the house. Right? That's what we've got to do with Jesus. When he's going to dwell in our hearts, he has access to everything in the house. That's what that means. He says that he may dwell in your hearts. How? By faith. You're only going to get deep by faith. That is trusting him, submitting to him. You're only going to get strong through his spirit. Through his spirit, we receive the strength, and it's through faith that we get deep. That's all right there. Read it. See it? Okay, I'll read it to you again, that we might be strengthened with might through his spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through spirit. Through faith. It's all necessary ingredients. And so he says rooted and grounded. Rooted is a picture of a plant putting its roots down. And when those roots go deep, they're going to find nourishment. One reason why some of you are starving to death, and I see this in church. I see people sitting and taking part in the Bible studies and Sunday school and in the preaching of the word. And they're growing deep and they're growing strong. And I'll see some other people that are just about to blow away with the wind. So, I can't control whether you're going to get deep or strong. All I control is whether I'm going to preach the word or not. And I may not do it the way you like it, and I may not be the style that you prefer. But this is what you got. But it's up to you. I'm telling you, with the word of God, you can grow if you rely upon his spirit and you trust him by faith. Okay? And what happens is as the roots go deep, they find the hidden nourishment. Got to have a good root system if you're going to be strong and healthy. And here's something else. When the storm comes and the wind blows, if there's no roots, it'll blow the tree over. But if you've got deep roots, you're going to hold. Okay? That's what he's talking about when he says rooted. And then grounded has to do with a foundation. So with rooted, you're going to think about being nourished and stable. Grounded, that means you've got a firm foundation. You're solid. You're stable. The building is only as stable as its foundation. You can't build high until you go low. You see what I'm saying? Until you humble yourself, until you get the foundation, until you get the foundation of the principles of the faith and of the Word of God into your heart and life, you're not going to be strong. That's why we're taking time. That's why some of us taking time to go through those basic lessons and discipleship study and all that. And it could be one reason why you're so shaky is you've never taken the time to get a good foundation in the Scripture and in your walk of faith under you. And you can't rise high until you go deep. Then he says this. He says in verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend. To comprehend with all the saints. It's like everybody should get this. This is for everybody. That you may be able to comprehend. That's what he says, get a grip. Because that English word comprehend and the English word apprehend both come from the same root word in the Latin. They both stem from the same Latin root word, prehender, which means to grasp. By the way, you know, a monkey has what we call a prehensile tail. That's from the Latin. It means they have a tail that can wrap around and grab a hold of stuff, hang from a tree limb. Get a grip! That's what he's talking about with this word. In the Greek, it's a word that means to seize, to get a hold of something. That's why I said, got to get a grip. And so with all this strength and with all this depth, he says that now you may be able to comprehend. When you comprehend, it means you get a hold of it in your mind and in your heart. Get a grip on it. When you apprehend is when you physically get a hold of someone. If you're apprehended, somebody got a hold of you. Okay, get a hold of this. He's saying that you have to be able to grasp this and get a handle on it. It's possible for you to know stuff, but you don't really have a handle on it. He says, I want you to get a grip on this. His concern is that we lay hold of the vast expanses of God's love to comprehend now the love of Christ. And it passes knowledge. Now, how can I know something that passes knowledge? The only way is that he helps me get a grip on it. And it's never going to end. I'm going to keep knowing more. This blows my mind. If you think that you've got to somehow contain this in your brain, that it's all got to logically fit within your framework of your worldview and the way you think, and it's going to blow your mind because I'm telling you it's bigger than that. If you could contain it within that and get it all figured out, it means it's no bigger than you are. And you could control it. It's got to be logical. Well, so you can control it. It's really a God complex. We just don't realize it. You know? it passes knowledge. But you can, God said, I want to help you get a grip on the love of Christ, the depth, the height, the width, breadth, all of it. And what he's not saying all these different, what he's saying is just it expands in every direction. And you'll never, ever get to the bottom of it throughout eternity even. But I'm praying that God will help you to spiritually get a grip on this by faith. We are so rich in Christ, you can't even calculate it. It blows your mind there too. And so this kind of love, he's talking about the love of Christ. Now what I'm talking about here is how much he loves you and how much his love is in you. How much Christ, we don't even fully understand how much he loved you to do what he did for you. You keep thinking you're no good and all that. Listen, he did this for you, every single one of you. Now, experiencing the love of Christ, you're gonna feel something. It does involve your emotions. And different ones of us display emotions differently. And I'm glad we're not all the same, right? Because if you were all like me, how would I get all my words in? You know, I'm a pretty good talker, and I can usually wait for somebody. Usually people, this is what I think, Galen. At least they got to take a breath. And when they take that breath, psh, I'm in there, right? Except for Pam. I couldn't even interrupt Pam. I mean, I think she talked on the out-breath and the in-breath. And I told her that, you know, when she had that surgery, it got delayed 4 hours. And remember, Kathy, we sat there with her. Do you remember what she said? She just talked the whole time. And then she told me, she goes, well, I know how to get you cornered and have a good visit with you is just have major surgery. And I think she decided it really wasn't worth it. But anyway, we're different. We're all unique, right? She was certainly unique, and that's part of what made her so special. But we all display emotion and everything differently. But here's the thing. When it talks about experiencing the love of Christ, it's not, listen to me, just about feeling the warm fuzzies with the tingle going up and down your spine. Experiencing and knowing the love of Jesus may have more to do with you being able to love someone who's hurt you very badly and doesn't seem to deserve your love. It might have to do with you knowing the love of Christ, of being able to forgive someone who has wronged you very deeply. That might be exactly what the means to have the love of Christ fill you and flow through you, to love someone and forgive someone who's hurt you very badly. And so, anyway, you don't have to worry about having inadequate resources with this. He's praying that you'll have all this, that you'll know all this. And remember what Paul said to the Philippians. I'm about done, so hang in there. He didn't say that. I said that. Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't say I can do all things with Christ behind me, backing me up. No. Some of us just want Jesus to back us up. What he's saying is Jesus is going to be in front of us, behind us, and on every side. I'm doing it through him. Through him. It's not him. It's not just me doing it and him kind of assisting me. It's him doing it. And I'm doing it through him. That's what Paul says. All things. So everything's available for us. Now this brings us to the last thing, and I got to wrap this up, and that's the fullness. All of this is leading to the fullness. All this strength, all this depth, all of this comprehension and getting a grip on these things, on the love of Christ, is this. Look at verse 19. To know the love of Christ. He's talking about that you might be able to get a grip on this, comprehend with the saints, the width, the height, the depth, and all that. He says, verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that. Here's the that. This is the point of it all, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Is that your desire? That's the result. The means of our fullness is the Holy Spirit, but the measure is the fullness of God himself. I'm sorry, but a little dab won't do you. Because you get the fullness of God. You get the fullness of something else is one thing, but when you get the fullness of God, this amazes me. See, that's the measure, God himself. We like to measure ourselves by others. You know, I like to measure myself by others. Usually if I'm comparing myself to others, I pick the worst Christian I can think of. But the measure that he's measuring us with is the measureness of the fullness of God himself. The real measurement is Jesus Christ himself, right? And so the word filled here, what's that mean? Well, see, filled doesn't just mean that I'm overflowing. Listen to this. Filled means that I'm controlled, dominated by something. When someone is filled with anger, That means they're controlled by anger. If someone is filled with love, that means they're controlled by love. If you're filled with the fullness of God, that means your whole being is controlled by the power, watch this, of God. Filled with the fullness of God. That's what we're talking about here. This is Paul's prayer. It's like this is what we're seeking. And I pray it's your prayer as well. And I'm going to wrap this up with the benediction. He gives a benediction. Right here is one of my favorite verses. If I were to have a verse that somebody said, what verse would you like on your tombstone? I would say this right here. So now all of you are going to say that. I'm going to say, wait a minute. No, it's okay. No, but I'm sure this is a very popular one because this is it. This has impacted my life so much. Where he says, now to him. It's kind of like a benediction. Now to him who is able. I love that. That Greek word for able is exploding with power. Aren't you glad that he's able? Amen. He says, to him who is able. There's times I say, Lord, I can't. But I pray to a God who is able. When you've reached the end of your rope and you have no hope, he's able. Not only able, but exceedingly, abundantly able above all you could ever ask. Listen, most of us are praying too shallow of prayers. You can't ask too much of God. He's able to do more than exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever even ask, more than you could ever even think in that little brain of yours. That word means to think or imagine. He is able. According to, there it is again. Not just out of his power. Watch this, according to the power. It gets better that works in us. That power, and that's dynamite again, it's at work in me. I got dynamite from God in me. He is able, and he is able in his power, out of his power, no, according to his power in me. Look at this. The power that works in us. Now, the word works comes from a Greek word, energia. We get the word energy from it, even electricity. His power is always flowing and working. His power works. His power isn't dormant. His power works. Is his power working in you? If it's there, it's going to be working. All for his glory. So here's what I'm saying. This is all for his glory. Through Christ, for all generations, forever and ever, this is God's desire. We need to get a grip on the wealth of his love. We need to get a grip on this today. Our churches ought to be filled every week with believers ready to testify. Amen? Ready to testify about the wealth of the love and the power of God. How he made you love someone that you didn't think that you could love. How he made you meet a need that you didn't think that you could meet. How he turned things around when you didn't think that there was no way out. We ought to be willing to go before the Lord with fasting and praying if we need to. And to say, Lord, I know I can't, but you are able. Amen. Pray with me.